Hi, everybody. My name is Hannah Sistislam, I'm CEO of ArmHug, and I'm here with one of our amazing subject matter experts. If you haven't seen our YouTube channel before, what we do is we basically interview experts in different industries, but are all impacting phlebotomy. If you're into phlebotomy, if you're into business entrepreneurship, if you want to grow a healthcare business, you know, these videos are probably going to be really important for you. This is Amy Baxter. She is the CEO of Pain Cure Labs, and she's got an incredible product. And I just want her to get us started with her story because it's really incredible. So Amy, take it away.
Sure. Thank you so much, Anastasia. And you're incredible. I mean, the ArmHug idea is a really great and long needed advance in the field that has been languishing too long. So congratulations to you. My background is as a pediatric emergency doctor, and my research was always in pain management. I would lecture other doctors about why you needed to care about pain management with needles in particular, and was doing research on spinal taps in the emergency room and topical anesthetics. But when my son had a very bad needle experience with his four-year-old shots, I realized that I needed to get something that parents or patients could use to block pain. So I noodled around on that for several years, ended up trying to replicate this feeling of if you burn your finger and you stick it under cold water, the pain goes away, and tried to work with water jets and swirly things for a while, finally realized that it was vibration. And that was in 2004. So by 2007, I had made a device for my kids, and I felt very guilty in the emergency room about not being able to offer this to the patients. I got a grant from the National Institutes of Health. I had to start a company to do that because at this point I had left academia, and the device that we studied is called Buzzy. So Buzzy is a vibration device that you put proximal. We say put it between the brain and the pain, and it numbs the nerves. And then you put the shot near the dot, or you do the procedure. We actually now, having done this for 15 years, we have a little bitty indention. And this just shows you where the motor is. Mm-hmm. And so when you put this proximal to where you're doing phlebotomy, or really any kind of pain, what it does is it counter-stimulates the motion nerves that outrace sharp pain to the brain. And it's just kind of a pain canceling frequency. So it works like if you bang your hand with a hammer, the motion of shaking your hand is triggering 90% of something they call gait control. And that goes to the spine and just shots out sharp pain. The other thing that vibration does in this frequency, and I like to call it mechanical stimulation because vibration makes people think, but the other thing that it does in this frequency is it is a sympathetic stimulator. So when people pass out with vasovagal, that's a parasympathetic response. And so using Buzzy, they're getting a sympathetic stimulator. And so, you know, if you're putting it on right here and the needle's going in here, Right. Then you're going to get vasodilation after about 8 seconds. So the veins will pop up and it reduces that feeling of lightheadedness, nausea, et cetera. So you can ask questions, but that in a nutshell is what Buzzy does and some of the path that we took to get here.
And so just to clarify a little bit, you mentioned that you put it close to where you're going to put the needle. So does a vein pop up once you start vibrating, and how long do you typically you keep it on there?
Sure. And this is a place where there's a lot of people. I mean, at this point, we're in 27 countries. We're in Quest Diagnostics, in Stone Diagnostics, which is a phlebotomy place in Florida. And so there are about 37 studies that have been written on phlebotomy with Buzzy.
Wow.
You can use it for intramuscular injections, and the technique is just a little bit different. So the first thing is that it comes with reusable, if you get the healthcare unit. So like here's a healthcare Buzzy. So it comes with 4 ice wings. What we found for phlebotomy is that the ice only adds about 10% of the numbing. Now, mind you, we didn't actually find this. These studies are done independently all over the world. The Middle Eastern Anesthesia Journal is where I found the one about they did a study with Buzzy with and with the ice. Yeah. I mean, just every so often I'll go looking to see who's written a study about it. So, but you put the ice in the freezer if you have a patient that you're doing an infusion on in their house, then they can buy a Buzzy and they can keep their ice packs there if they have a real problem with infusion pain or you're doing a bunch of different sites. But you take the ice, you put it under, and then the cold is a totally different pain pathway. So you're getting two different kinds. Now, if you were doing an infusion in an arm or a leg, for example, what you would do is you would leave it on for about 30 to 60 seconds to numb the nerves. Wow. And then you'd slide it up and you'd put the needle in as close as possible, but you'd leave this here and vibrating because that is going to continue that same kind of feeling like doing this. You know, if you bang your head to the hammer, as soon as you stop that, in seconds, the pain starts coming back. So you have to keep interrupting the pain. But for phlebotomy, you don't need to wait at all. And you really don't even need to use the ice. So for phlebotomy, what you would do is just put it on underneath the tourniquet. So if you're doing AniCube, you're going to put it on with the tourniquet. And so this becomes your tourniquet, flip it on. And then it takes about 8 seconds for the veins to pop up.
Wow.
And that's because that's the sympathetic response to release nitric oxide in the vein takes about that long. And then you're just going to do phlebotomy the way you normally would. But wherever the vein is, you're going to want to move this just a little bit so that this center of this, which is where the motor is as close as possible to where the vein is. So you put it on, you get it going, and then you clean it the way you normally would, and then go. But the closer you can get this to your site, the better the pain relief and the more the vasodilation you're going to get.
And this is a battery operated reusable device.
So this may have been a mistake, but as an emergency pediatrician, I didn't want to have disposable actions. I didn't want to make some subscription. I wanted this to be something that a lab could buy two of, and then one of them would always have batteries active. So yeah, it's they have AAA batteries, and so it's very easy to just unscrew the back of it to open it up and do it. Now we came out with a mini, and the mini has a 3-minute timer, so that way if we found that people were sometimes leaving the extra large ones and it would get turned on or it'd be in the drawer and it would hit something, and so we've got this, but it's got a 3-minute timer. And then in South Africa, our distributor said, we actually have killer bees. Can you make a lady buzz? So we made the lady bird. So, but yeah, at this point we have 42 million needle procedures that have been done. And so one thing that's important for people who are using it to know that a lot of times we find that if you haven't been trained on Buzzy, just saw it, you don't necessarily know. That is that you don't have to wait for it to be effective. So in pre-analytic medicine and in phlebotomy, the longer you leave the tourniquet on, the more you're going to get a very slightly changed lab values. So it turns out that about 2 minutes is when those lab values are the most deranged. Now, Buzzy changes lab values less than leaving a tourniquet on because that vibration and the vasodilation, so you're getting a little bit more blood flow anyway. So it doesn't change lab values quite as much, but 2 minutes gives you about a 2% change in some of the values. Again, probably not clinically relevant, but you want to just go ahead and put it on and do the phlebotomy as soon as possible. So just like with the tourniquet, but if they're going to be a hard stick, that may be another reason why you do want to use Buzzy, because you'll get some vasodilation and hopefully you won't have to leave on the tourniquet as long as if you were doing 2 or 3 sticks to get them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so what have you seen now? Are people purchasing them and referring them, you think, to other people? Or I'm curious, like how it's grown so much, like you've already mentioned.
Yeah. Well, we started with Child Life Champions. And because I was in medicine, I also was very much opposed to having a business. I mean, I had to get the grant, but I didn't want to sell a product. I didn't want to be out there as the face of Buzzy. It was like, the science will take care of itself and people will find it. And so I don't need to worry about that. And so Child Life Champions. So they're in hospitals and they help kids with procedures to both explain the procedure and to give them pain relief and to advocate and then to distract them when the procedure is going on. So one thing that we found early on was that if someone was really anxious, it really didn't matter whether you use Buzzy or not. What mattered was how much fear they had. And so because of that, we realized that young kids are getting more needles since 1985 than any time before that. So my age, we got 6 injections for our immunizations. We got them before we were 2. So we don't remember. And we just think that we're really good with needles and that you young people are wimps. The reality is when we started giving boosters and we increased the number of vaccines, by the year 2000, people were getting 36 separate injections. So this is a huge deal because now people are afraid of needles, but particularly if you are more of an autocratic person or if you don't believe in weakness, people don't want to admit to it. And so they end up not wanting to go get phlebotomy or get a vaccine. I testified before the Department of Health and Human Services on February 4th, 2021, telling them that 26% of people weren't going to get vaccinated because of a fear of needles. Right. And they just couldn't believe it. They were just like, you know, how can this be? Because they're all born before 1985. And they're mostly men. So they never went to get shots with their kids. So they don't understand how somebody could be that afraid of a needle. So I can tell your listeners how to handle somebody who is afraid of needles, and also how to reduce both pain with distraction and pain with Buzzy. So the distraction part, it turns out that fear and control are volume knobs for pain. So if you have ever seen a little kid who's getting a shot and they start screaming with the gauze, that's because what their fear is telling them they're feeling something that they're really not. So what we did was make a bunch of distraction cards. And so the cards are really difficult. And they're on our Pain Care Labs website also, but they're a set of 5. And so they've got seek and find type things. So it's like, how many apples can you find? And the questions are on the back. So if you've got a parent, the parent can be answering the questions, asking the questions and distracting the kid. So this takes care of the physiology of the pain, but you still have to take care of the cognitive side. So even without these things, when you go to do phlebotomy, you need to deal with the pain and the fear and their focus. So what I will do is I'll say, hey, how do you feel about needles? And if they're like, I'm fine with them, then you're good. But if they say nobody likes needles, then you say, well, tell me a little more about that. Do you get lightheaded? Is it just anxiety? Or do you feel, did you have a bad experience in the past? And so then they'll tell you their story once you say, oh, you know, that's really common. Tell me your story. And so then you can say, well, this is going to be nothing like that. We have some new things we can do that are going to make it much better. Hmm. Now, if the issue is fainting, but they're not afraid of needles, they just don't like fainting, then you can actually have them lift one leg up and tense their stomach muscles. So if they just kind of bring up a knee and tense their stomach muscles, that keeps the blood in the brain and can decrease fainting. If you're using the Buzzy, you want to make sure that you're getting it as close as possible so that sympathetic stimulus can block the pain and block that fainting response from the vasovagal. If what their issue is anxiety, then you say, I just freak out and feel like throwing up. So you can say, okay, well, do you want me to say when I touch you or not? Because most people with needle phobia do not want to know when it comes in. We're trained to say, okay, you're going to feel a little stick. Don't say that. And they'll tell you, just say, do you want me to say it or not? And so the third thing is that, so you've got pain management, you've got their fear ramped down because they're going to trust you and they feel more like you understand. So they're not embarrassed and afraid. So the third thing is their focus. So ask them, do you have things that you like to do that help? Or do you want me to make some suggestions? And the best kind of distraction to decrease pain is something that involves a task that is not familiar, but easy. So what I like to do with adults, if they don't have distraction cards, is I like to say, all right, look at that sentence. It could be on a box. It could be anywhere. And tell me how many of those letters have circles. So it's a thinking fast, thinking slow thing. It's very hard. Like if I'm looking at, it's going to be fine. So G has a circle, O has a circle. So having to count at the same time as categorize really activates this anterior cingulate cortex. It decreases pain by half. So it's really easy to approach people with empathy. Let them know you know what's going on. If it's fainting, you need a specific intervention. But the stomach tensing is actually the only thing that's been proven to help long term for decreasing it. Buzzy has been proven to decrease vasovagal, but it was in an IV shot thing. And you'll have a friend for life.
Wow. And so just so that I kind of talk a little bit more about the fact that you left medicine, or not, I shouldn't say that, but you left your position in the emergency room, is that right? Just to start this? And then are you working on this full time?
So I actually didn't stop for this. Came up with the idea in, 2004, August 4th, 2004. I had kind of a eureka moment after an overnight shift in the emergency department where my tires were unbalanced and I realized that vibration was the answer.
Yeah, your brain.
And then noodled around with the idea for a couple of years, made the prototype, and finally working in the emergency room was just so distressed by knowing that all these kids were screaming with the IV starts and that this would stop it because it worked for my kids. But I was an academic and I needed to prove that it worked for other people, that it wasn't just placebo. So got the grant, had to start the company, got the grant. That was 2009 that we launched. And then, I went to a couple of trade shows. I published the papers from the NIH and then just sat back. And so eventually I got someone to help me administer the grant. Eventually I got somebody, but we were just operating out of my basement and I was certainly still practicing medicine. I actually started a research division. So I was running the research division, practicing medicine, and Buzzy was just, at some point people would realize it was a big deal and take care of it. That was when in 2012, that was when the NIH studies, we realized that there was such a huge jump in needle fear. So I went back to the data. I published a paper about this, 63% are afraid of needles now, and did TED Talks. I even went on Shark Tank to try to raise awareness. We've got a needle fear problem here. What if we have a pandemic and people don't get vaccinated? But I didn't quit practicing medicine because I made the device so cheap that and reusable. And we have people who've been using the same thing for 12 years for their Humira. Women are using it for IVF. We've got people using it for cancer. We've got all of these things people are using it for, but it's not a moneymaker. And it wasn't something that I felt was worth giving up practice because I took somebody's space. So if I quit practicing, that there's some ethical issues with that. One of my colleagues used the device to not take opioids after a total knee replacement. And I had a friend who died of opioid overdose she was my best friend from high school, but she died early college. And I was just furious with her for being so stupid. When my friend told me his experience and I started researching more about the opioid crisis, I realized that as a pain practitioner, I had been erroneously led on about the benignness of opioids. And so we started working. So I quit looking for partners and licensing now to try to make some products that are in other areas that desperately need pain relief that's non-addictive and non-pharmaceutical. But we'll see. But yeah.
And all of these products, you're making them overseas or are these locally? Like, are you?
Yeah. So I started overseas just because we were small and didn't have any money and we were not yet grant funded. Then when we got grant funded, I moved manufacturing to Georgia back. So we're in China now. And because we've actually just been picked up by a major big box distributor and we're used by Kenny Drugs in New York for their vaccine program. So we are looking at a couple of different US manufacturers so that we can have a diversified supply chain.
Yeah, that's great.
You know all about supply chains.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking like maybe I can also refer you to some people who didn't work out for me, but might work for you and they're here in the US or at least to just check out because sometimes it's kind of like you have to go shopping You have to shop around and find the right partner, you know?
Yeah. But one thing that's really fun is we've actually just started with our Buzzy Pro. So one of the things for dialysis, when people are using Buzzy, the ice pack has a hole in it. So we just, this actually launches September 1st. So you're the first to see it. Mm-hmm. So the nice thing about Buzzy Pro is that it's much thinner, and in US dialysis, so even though I made the ice wings so that you can clean them, for dialysis, you really do, the ice makes a big difference and you don't need to worry about vasoconstriction. You don't really need to worry about vasoconstriction with Buzzy anyway, because you never put it on the site. You only put it proximal. So the warm venous blood is flowing toward it. But for the Buzzy Pro, we've got exactly the footprint of the device has the ice pack. So that way they get the whole amount and it's big enough to cover two different sites for cannulation. And so, you know, and then they can thread it on and put it and leave it for a good 2 minutes and then go ahead and move it up while they're cannulating. So, and this does have disposable, because in the US, in dialysis places, you have to have something disposable. So even though for Buzzy, I wanted to make sure there's always a reusable device in order to comply with dialysis cleanliness standards, had to use something that was reusable, so, or disposable. So, but yes. So all of these things are at buzzyhelps.com. Most of them are available through Medline and Cardinal Health and other places as well, you know, normal suppliers, Market Lab, but usually hospitals, because they're only going to be buying, you know, one for every four rooms that they operate. So a lab may just need two. So because of that, most places will just go online and buy it straight from us.
Right, because you can reuse it with patients.
Right, you just use a standing wipe, a chlorhexidine, or an alcohol swab and just clean it in between patients.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Great. Thank you so much. I mean, this has been really informative. I think now I know more about Buzzy than I wish. I wish I did know more about it beforehand. So it's amazing to see how much progress you guys have made. I feel like back when I was looking at your website, I was like, this is an interesting idea, but it's amazing now that it's growing so much that I keep seeing it everywhere. So whatever you're doing is working.
Well, here's an interesting, so this is just like this, the number of studies that have been done. So this is for IV access and this is for IM. Here's how many Buzzy studies there are in adults and kids. Compared to LMX, almost none, compared to EMLA. So it's 2 to 3 times as effective as cold spray. It's equivalent to LMX, and it's like 0.5 on a 10-point pain scale, less effective than EMLA, but it works immediately, and it's $13 cheaper per use. So it's just amazing to me now that you know, I haven't been doing enough promoting or anything, but from just a data standpoint, it's astounding how many lovely, wonderful people have done research on this all over the world.
And then just to clarify for people who don't know what EMLA is, can you explain a little bit about what that is?
Sure. So there are two different topical anesthetic creams that are available in the US. One is a eutectic mixture of local anesthetics. It's 2.5% prilocaine and 2.5% lidocaine. You have to leave it occluded on for at least 60 minutes. It will vasoconstrict in the first half hour to 45 minutes. So if you don't have time, don't use that one. And it, over 4 hours, it'll get down to a 0.5 centimeter depth of numbing. So super great. LMX is in little fat cells called liposomes. And so it's lidocaine, it's 4% lidocaine. And so it will penetrate into the skin more quickly, but it also diffuses out. So it'll work in about 20 minutes occluded, but after about 40, those little fat lidocaine lobules have gone away someplace else. So those are the options. And actually there's a new study that I found yesterday for the distraction cards, which are like, you know, $9, last forever, and you can clean those too. But this was done in Taiwan for IV infusions specifically in children, and highly statistically significant. Every single study has been statistically significantly effective, except for two IM studies, intramuscular injection studies, where they did not use the ice pack. But all of the IV studies have been statistically significantly effective for decreasing pain. So it's, I mean, you know, if you bang your hand with a hammer and you do this, the pain stops. It's a pretty straightforward mechanism.
Yeah, all right. Well, that was my last question, but if there's anything else you want to leave us with, anything you want to add, any advice for somebody who's probably in your position and wants to change something that they saw when they were at work and they feel like they've got to venture out and they've got to get that device out there to people.
I will say that is a whole other 30-minute conversation, but there is, just as there is no such thing as a quick and dirty study, there's no such thing as a quick and dirty product. And going through incubators, going through customer discovery, work with somebody to understand what that is, to know who your customer would be for the solution, and fall in love with the problem. Don't fall in love with your solution, because oftentimes the solution you have actually doesn't fit the problem as robustly. And if that's the case, you want to make sure you go to market with something that is 90% there to solve the problem you want to solve.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Amy, so much for your time today. Really appreciate all your expertise. I hope you guys enjoyed listening. I will go ahead and put all of her information at the bottom of our videos so that you guys can reach out. I'm sure there's a lot of information on the website too that you can learn a little bit more about Buzzy or how to get it. And I'll leave you guys to it. So thank you so much.
Yep. So Buzzy and Vibrable. And I will remind all of your listeners that you should like and subscribe so that they will be aware of every time you come out with a new expert in phlebotomy.
Thank you.
Take care.